Thank you. Turning this morning to Ephesians 5. As I said earlier, we've been on a walk. We've walked with love. We've walked with purity. Today we're walking as children of light. We're going to pick up the reading at verse 6 and read through to 14. 6 to 14. Ephesians 5, 6 to 14. What we're about to read is the very Word of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of life is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord to us this morning. Thank you. Walk in love, walk in purity, walk in light, walk in wisdom, walk in music, walk in submission. Those are the six walks that we're asking the Lord to help us journey with. Our current focus, of course, then is on our conduct or the walk of our lives. Where are we going? What are we doing? After multiple chapters on, all of the theology found in the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit has obviously directed Paul to write in a way that will help us understand what it is to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we have all of this wealth in the theology and the truths that God has brought to us, all these precious doctrines to us, that He's called us and adopted us, etc., redeemed us, and all of those things we talked about in chapters 1 through 3, now we're seeking to walk with the Lord our God. Conduct ourselves in a way worthy of His name and the salvation that He's called us to. But it's not just our conduct that's important here. In fact, there's something far more important than what it is we're doing. The deeper issue is the why. It's not just how well we love or battle our sin nature or seek to be wise or make melody in our hearts or how well we submit to one another. That's the deep issue. The deep issue is the why, the motive. Why are we doing what we're doing? So the motive behind what we're doing is always the crucial thing. That's at the heart of the issue. It's not just a matter of what my hands are doing, but it's what my heart is doing. Why? What is my motive for following the Lord Jesus Christ? Or, you could turn it around the other way, because we're either doing one thing or the other, so let's turn it around the other way. What is my motive for not following the Lord Jesus Christ fully? Giving myself 120% to pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going on in my heart? What's holding me back from fully giving myself to the Lord? To search out my true motives, we will need help. I need help. For the Bible is accurate when it declares that I am naturally drawn to darkness. That's where I naturally, that's where you and all of us would just as soon reside, in darkness. So foolish is our sin. So we need the Holy Spirit to come and, as I said earlier, climb into the inner recesses of our heart with the flashlight of the Word of God and illuminate my heart, my motives, my values, my inner core. We need to have the Holy Spirit search out our motives. The psalmist said that, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. That's a brave thing to pray. Would you pray that this morning? Oh God, over the next 20 minutes, would you take the flashlight of the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and just climb into my heart and take a look around? That's a scary thing to pray. Because we got things in our heart that we're hiding. We're getting away with it for the most part. At least we think. But God knows. But oh God, would you help me see? Search out the reasons for what we are doing. If we are doing good for the wrong reason, it just won't work. We will never glorify God with right actions carried out from wrong motives. We will never live in the joy of holiness or the quiet of peace if that's how we're functioning. If we're just doing what's good, what's right, but we're doing it for the wrong reason, I say again, it won't last. It won't last. And we all know that. So God, would you help us line up with what we ought to be doing, with why we ought to be doing it for the right reason. So today's lesson is critical. We need light. We need to walk in light. We need light to see our sin. We need light to see if we're even saved or not. We need light. We need the light of God's Word to sort out the true motives in following Jesus. So let me just ask just a few questions here real quick, just by way of introduction this morning. Kind of get us tuned in here. Why did you come to church this morning? You made a good decision. You got in your car, drove over here, got out of the car, came inside. Now, I know some of the kids might say, well, of course, I'll tell you why I came to church. My dad said, get in the car. Why did you come to church this morning? Come on now, don't give an answer that I want to hear. Why did you come to church? What was your motive? Did you strive after purity this week? You know, after that long sermon last week on purity and turning from sexual immorality? How'd you do? Remember I had that friend that asked me all the time to ask him that question? How many times? I had to ask him that question every week. So let me ask you this morning, how many times, how'd you do? And if you did good, good. But I want to ask you this morning, what was your motive? Is there anything holding you back from rising to a new level in your walk with Jesus Christ? These are just questions to help us face the truth of what's really going on in our hearts. And I don't know what's going on in your heart. You don't know what's going on in my heart. I can't see your heart. We can't see each other's heart. After a while, you know, the fruit of our heart starts to show itself. But I don't know where you are today, what your motives are. But here's the good news. This is really good news. God is light. He has come to shine out truth. So important is this topic to the Lord that we find the word light 277 times in our ESV Bible. And when the Lord wants to talk about something 277 times, I guess we ought to pay attention. And we're not going to cover it all in, what have I got left, 15, 20 minutes. But it's so important. Look how important this is. This starts right at the very beginning. If you turn to Genesis 1, you don't get very far before you hear the word light. And it's in verse 3. Look how this gets. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness. So there's three descriptions. The earth was without form and it was void and darkness was over the face of the deep. I've tried to understand that, but that's way beyond my ability. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? What did He say? Let there be, of course, light. So it's interesting that of the three ways the earth at that time was described as without form and void and darkness, the very first thing God does is deal with the darkness issue. That's the first one. And He brings light. And don't think that's because He hung a sun up in the sky. Nope, that's not till a couple more days. This is His light penetrating now into what is darkness. If you travel from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, in fact, the last chapter in the book of Revelation, well, we'll go first to the second of the last, Revelation 21, we see this topic of light. And He describes this new city upon this new earth that He has formed. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. Why? For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And then verse 5 of chapter 22, and night will be no more. They will not need light of lamp or the sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. How will that be? How will that look? I don't know all the details, but it sure sounds good. Here's the word, no more darkness. And we understand in that metaphor language what's being said here. No more sin, no more depression, no more despair. Nothing anymore that's bad. Why? Because the light of God will have conquered all things and made all things new. So 1 John chapter 1, John writes, this is the message we've heard from the beginning and proclaim to you, this is what we proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We're kidding ourselves, John is saying here. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So Psalm 119, 105, remember memorizing that verse in Sunday school? I'm sure we memorized this verse in our Sunday school program here, don't we? Psalm 119, 105, what's that verse? Your word is a what? A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So how do we approach this massive subject this morning? Well, I'll go at it this way from the text. Here's three questions we can ask ourselves this morning. So if you're taking any notes, kind of here's the three headings. What does it mean to walk as children of light? That's our first question. What does it mean? That's what Paul's calling us to do. Walk as children of light. That's a command. Okay. What does it mean? Second, how do we discern what is pleasing to the Lord? Because that, again, is what our text calls us to. Don't go there. Don't walk with that. Don't take part of that mess. But instead, do what's pleasing to the Lord. You've got to figure it out. Discern it. Put another way, how can I keep myself from taking part in the unfruitful works of darkness? And then finally, number three, this question, how do I expose darkness as a Christian? Because again, that's the command here. Three commands for us this morning. Our command is to walk, our command is to discern, and our command is to expose the darkness. So that's where we're going to go here very quickly. Two teachings on walking in the light. From Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It tells me something about the light. The light, first of all, is for me to shine into my life. I got to get my life right before I can be helpful to other people's lives. So I need to walk in the light for me. First of all, then that lamp tells me exactly where I am. Now, boys and girls, you know a lamp. It's like a picture it now as a kind of a rounded lamp hanging here with a light bulb inside, and it's shining down right here. So if I'm walking in the light, I'm under that light. I'm submitting myself to the light, and it tells me exactly where I am. Where am I? Where are you? Spiritually? Where are you in your position with God right now? That's what that light is for. To help us see where we are at. And then also along with that comes the fact for me and for you, each one of us individually and personally, and for us collectively as a church, to tell us where we are at, but also to tell us where we ought to go, right? We're always, all of us in different ways are seeking the will of God for our lives. Lord, where do you want me to go? Do you want me to go here? Do you want me to go there? Do you want me to go to this school, that school? Lord, do you want me to become this as a profession? Should I marry this person? All these questions that we have, don't we, right? And the light of God shines a path for us so we know where to go. If instead of following that light, we decide, well, you know, I don't know if I like that way. I think I'll take this way over here. We end up in darkness. And then the second thing has to do with walking as children of light is to walk in the light to reflect the light out into the darkness. So if I come underneath this light and it shines down on me, guess what's going to happen? Some of that light is going to reflect out from me to my world. And that's the way all of us should be functioning as we leave this place and go back out into our communities, back into our schools, back into our workplaces. We're like walking reflectors. We're not the light. God is the light. But we're to be reflecting that. How do we do evangelism? How do we make Christ known? All those questions we need to be asking ourselves as a church. How do we make known the gospel? By walking in the light. And the minute I step away from the light, I start to reflect darkness. So I need to stay in the light. Now, in the light, in the light, in the light. This is a beautiful metaphor of light and darkness. It takes us back to the fact that God is light and tells us that the Word of God is that light. Psalm 119. Thy Word is the lamp. Thy Word is the spotlight, is the flashlight. Right? Okay. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. That's a massive statement I just said. You know where the world gets its light from? In the metaphor that we're talking about right now? You and me. We're it. Do not think the government's going to be the light of the world. It's not. It's not their call. It's not their gift. We've been given the light. We are the light bearers to the world. Don't think your school is going to be the one that is responsible to bring the light to the world. No, that's your job. That's my job. It's not just our job. It's just the natural thing that happens when we're in the light. So light stands out in darkness. Now, that's an obvious statement, but let's just make it. We should be standing out in darkness. There should be a difference between you in the workplace and a person who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the workplace. Light and darkness are different from one another. Light overcomes darkness. There's a great truth. Put that one down. Don't think darkness is greater than light, although sometimes we just shake our head, don't we? We're looking at our culture right now, we're seeing the power of darkness, and we're going, is there any hope? Here's the hope. God is light, and God is greater than evil. Amen? So, we have every reason to hope. Now, I know elements differ in how they react to the reflection of the light that we're giving off. Right? I mean, you take a Hershey's chocolate candy bar, right, boys and girls? You go put that on a sidewalk or on the asphalt on a hot summer day. What's that chocolate candy bar going to do? What's it going to do? It's going to melt. It's going to make a mess. You're going to have chocolate all over your hands, right? But that same light, that same sun, shining down on wet clay is going to dry it and cause it to be hard. And so as we are walking about in the light and reflecting it to the world, we're going to get different reactions. Some people are going to melt and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of metaphors here this morning. And some people are going to harden. And for some, sadly, they will harden so bad that they will come to hate you and me. All right, second thing. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's our command. Take no part in the unfruitful works of the darkness. How do we discern what is pleasing to the Lord? Well, let me first of all say that there are things that are pleasing to the Lord. And the proof of that is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3:17, what did it say about His Son? But that He is well pleasing to the Father. So our lives should be lived out in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. We should be resembling Jesus Christ. Let's think a moment of different people in the Scriptures. David and Bathsheba. Did David at a time in his life stand in the light and have the light reflected out? And did it change his life? Was he not a man after God's own heart? Were there times that David pleased the Lord? Absolutely. Then what happened? David stepped out of the light. He stepped into darkness. And you know the story with Bathsheba. Achan. Remember the story of Achan? A little Bible trivia here. Remember Achan? How come Achan ended up Achan? Well, Achan, right? He was one of those guys among I don't know how many that walked around Jericho until the walls came tumbling down. You know the story, boys and girls? And Achan, after the walls came down, he saw something. He saw it. He saw something. He saw some gold. He saw this cool-looking robe and stuff. That's okay that he saw it. No harm there. Until the next statement, what did he do? He stepped out of the light and walked into the darkness because he coveted the gold and coveted the robe. I often wondered what Achan thought he was going to do with that gold and that robe. What was he going to do? Wear that robe around? So, of course, he took it because he coveted it. Now he's really getting into darkness. Then he really got further into darkness and he hid it. But did God know where it was? Of course God knew where it was. Jonathan, you know he's one of my Bible heroes, my personal Bible hero. Jonathan, I just really have a lot of respect for Jonathan. He stayed in the light. He stayed in the light. Even though David was going to be the replacement king, as Jonathan, you know, had all the right to, he stayed faithful to his dad, stayed honoring his dad, even though he strongly disagreed with his dad. It's a great study. Jonathan, he stayed in the light. Apostle Paul, remember how bad he was? He was so bad, he was so far deep in the darkness. What a mess. Can anyone do anything with this guy called Saul? And then the power of the light shone down and changed his life forever.
We call him the Apostle Paul.
John Mark, in the light. Want to go on a missionary trip?
Yeah.
Put my name down. Off he goes. Then halfway through he quits. You know the story, he goes back home. Did he get back into the light later? Yes. He wrote the Gospel of Mark. So you and I, as we walk in the light, I know there will be times we will fail. God in His grace will help us. Oh, where can we go, huh? I mentioned Jonathan as an example of one who stayed in the light. Let me mention one who was in the light, kind of, at least getting exposed for 3 years, and then really walked away from the light. You know who I'm talking about, Judas. And he even gave Jesus a kiss in the garden. So we need to discern, and the only way we're going to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is light and what is darkness, is from the Word of God. Please do not look to your culture to tell you what's right and what's wrong. That's a real mistake. We have to look to the Scriptures. Third thing this morning to talk about very quickly is that we are commanded to expose the darkness. The task our Lord has called us to is twofold. To have the light shine on our own darkness, that our own darkness might be exposed. But now, the second thing, we are to expose the darkness around us. We cannot be passive in the battle against evil and against darkness. Christian, you cannot stay in the greenhouse. I know you'll grow well in the greenhouse. We need to prepare our children to step out of the greenhouse and be ready to enter into the world and actively expose the darkness and say, that's wrong. That's not right. To say, there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in none other. To say, I'm sorry, but that law is unjust. And that's wrong. To not only actively vote against it, but even to actively speak against it. No, that's wrong. Taking the life of this baby in the womb. That's wrong. That's sin. That's wrong. That's darkness. We have to speak. We have to say it. We've already seen it in Ephesians 4:15. We were commanded. Speak the truth. Yes. How do we do it? With love. Yes. With humility. Because we come from darkness. We get it. We know. But we must speak. We must expose. Our job is to reflect the light of Jesus Christ by exposing sin. Don't think you're going to get a lot of thanks and pats on the back for doing it. But if you really love people, you will engage them to know the light that they might be saved from the darkness that they live in. Matthew Henry comments, we must witness against the sins of others and endeavor to convince them of their sinfulness in our words, but especially by the holiness of our own lives. So the real need of the world is not more education or knowledge or even technology. The real need of the world is for light, and you and I are the ones that have it, and only you and I are the ones that have it. Again, don't look for other areas for it to come from. We're it. And so as the Church of Jesus Christ, we must be about the work of exposing evil. Listen to John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. This is the conversation Jesus is having with Nicodemus. Of course, he's speaking about himself. We know that. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they are not, that they have been done in God. John 3. So to expose evil by reflecting the light that is shining on us is the natural outcome of having the light. If you are not, if I am not, if Walker URC is not exposing evil by the light of Christ, something's wrong. We're either hiding it, keeping it to ourselves. That's wrong. Let me just expose that sin a minute. That's wrong. We've got to be exposers of the light. Since the light is shining on us, it is unnatural for us not to shine the light. In other words, we will have to make willful decisions to hide the light. Here are a few examples of how we hide the light. We do this by not speaking the truth with love. We need a ton of wisdom in that statement, but there it is. When do I speak? How do I speak? Yeah, lots of questions there, but I must speak the truth. We do this by not seeking justice for those oppressed. We do this by not entering the arena of our culture and instead hiding. We do this by not caring about God's appointed institutions such as the government. If we're not involved with our government, we're hiding the truth, we're hiding the light from it. We've got to be engaged in it. Again, a host of wisdom is required there. In the words of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. Let it happen. Stop causing it not to happen. Well, we've got to conclude. I'll give you three things by way of conclusion. First of all, we should be very thankful here today. God's given us a gift. It's called light. He's pulled us out of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the reflection of the light. This is who we proclaim, Jesus. We don't go around proclaiming ourselves. Or look how good I am. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. This is 2 Corinthians 4. Now verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You and I have something. We have a gift from God, and it's called light. Shine it. For so many, they remain in their darkness. I was at my daughter's house the other day, and she's got five rascals running around. It's a beautiful day. Sun shining outside. And, of course, I've got this sermon on my mind, you know. And I heard her say to the kids, get out! Get out of the house! Put the books away. Stop the piano lesson. She homeschools. Get out of here. Go on out and enjoy the sun. I thought, exactly. We need to get out and get in the Word of God that will shine upon our lives. Spend more time in the Word of God. Now, I don't know what you've got to cross out of your daily activities. But something's got to go that's probably just darkness in the end anyways. Come on now. Get rid of some video games. And get into the Word of God. Get out of that. Shut the TV off. Get into the Word of God. If we're so busy that we don't have the time to get ourselves under that light, we got to make some changes. So make the changes. That's what it is to walk in the light. Ask the Lord to help you each day
to reflect His light.
That's a good prayer that we ask the Lord as we're getting up in the morning. Lord, would You help me today reflect Your light better than I did yesterday? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, would You help us walk as children of light, mindful that we are Your children. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful. Thank You for bringing to us light, drawing us out of darkness, just as You did with that physical earth years ago, as You created that which was void, that was without shape, that which was dark. You brought Your light. Thank You for bringing to our hearts light. Now, Lord, help us not to hoard it and keep it, but to reflect it and share it, we pray. May we be found faithful, loving others with the right motive to share the light of Christ. We pray.